Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Christy Atlas, Vice President of Marketing for I-9 Sports Franchise, and Scott Reed, who's an I-9 Sports franchisee from Woodland, Texas. I-9 Sports is the world's first and fastest-growing youth sports franchise, offering flag football, basketball, soccer, cheerleading, and other sports for kids ages 4 to 14. Sports leagues put an emphasis on having fun and not winning. And that's coming up in segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Marty, how about yourself? How's your week going?
Good, good. Feel a little, you know, well-rested, I guess you can say, you know, having the Memorial Day break, you know. And,
right.
You know, it's nice to just get that one day just to kind of catch up on things and especially sleep.
Right, yeah, it's nice having the extra day. And we had pretty, you know, decent weather overall, so it's nice getting outside and, you know, experiencing some warm weather.
Absolutely.
Doing things with the kids. Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and speaking of kids, it's going to be kind of like the theme today. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. Our last show, Don, we met with Dr. Robert Needham, who's the author of Wealth 3.0, Saving America, One Small Business at a Time. An incredible show, I thought. I mean, and again, I don't think you and I were both surprised. We've had Dr. Robert Needham on the show once before, and he really was incredible. So this time he was just as informative, if not more, with his new book.
Yeah, I mean, his timing is excellent to come out with this book, obviously.
Sure,
I mean, there's a lot of his motivation with what's gone on with our country the last year or so, especially since last fall, with what's gone on with the economy.
Right.
And with businesses and people getting laid off, the unemployment rate going up, it's just a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, the economy's different, and so his message is, you know, is real interesting, and he takes you back over history and describes what's gone on and what's gone on also recently and why he feels, you know, to build wealth is business ownership.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He describes certain ways. It's just not owning a business. He will give you a specific, specific path on owning a business, even multiple businesses. And he has a lot to talk about franchising, of course.
Right. He's very big on that. Yeah, he did. He started things off with a little history lesson. You know, some of the things that I didn't know, he started off with Alexander Titler's quote. And he mentioned something I thought was very interesting. He said, the average age of a great civilization is 200 years. Did that scare you? Or
yeah.
It scared me as he mentioned it, you know. And I'm taking notes during the show, as always, you know. And said 500 years ago, people came to this country seeking land, and that was where we entered Wealth 1.0. And then when we went into the Industrial Revolution, that was Wealth 2.0, and there was power to few. This is when people started buying or owning stock. And where we are today is Wealth 3.0. It's the third phase of wealth. I guess you could say development,
right,
in our country, you know. And the amazing thing about Dr. Needham is his background. He's a rocket scientist, wasn't he?
Right, by his mid-20s, yeah.
It's really incredible. So, I mean, he was very informative, gave a lot of great advice. He spoke about, you know, the importance of, you know, and I've been paying attention to it all week, avoiding distractions.
Right.
You know, he said how they keep you from reaching your dreams.
And goals,
you know,
yeah.
And goals and things like that, you know. So the one thing that you really need to do is eliminate distractions. He's very big on having a mentor, isn't
right.
he? Right. You know, somebody who will actually hold you accountable. You know, and all this information is in the book. And if you missed the show, you know, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen to it again. And, you know, even the first time we had him on the show as well, you know, he was very specific on franchising and things like that. So, yeah.
And his, you know, his background, being a rocket scientist, I know he has a wealth equation that's very interesting, and you know, just his philosophy on, and you're right. I mean, having a wealth coach, consultant, mentor, you know, is very important. You know, because people need that to make sure they're making the right decisions.
Exactly. You know, you want to talk to experts. You know, people who have achieved success. You know, and again, somebody to also hold you accountable. So. You know, he's somebody that I would definitely like to have on the show at least once a year, maybe even twice a year, you know, if he could fit it into his schedule. I mean, he really is.
Right. And the core of it all, Marty, of course, is small business ownership. That's what drives the economy. That's what builds jobs. I mean, you know, just this book, if it could, you know, even just, you know, just be a small part.
Right.
Of people reading it and realizing, you know, you're right. It's just not controlling your own destiny. It's the best. I mean, it's probably the best way to build future wealth that you can pass on to family, and just, you know, leave yourself in better position. Just, you know, working for a company, and you know, there's good and bad, and pros and cons on both sides. We've gone over that in our third year now of doing the show, but most of the time, there's just a high percentage that working for a big company is probably going to let you down, you know, somewhere along the path.
Yeah, he said something very powerful. He said we've been sold the wrong dream. You know, I mean, a lot of people
right.
think that, you know, you work and you got health benefits and things like that. But, you know, that's really not the answer, you know. And you're right. We've seen that over the last year. And that's where we are. You know, it's this Wealth 3.0, people going into their own business. As you said, it's small business driving the economy. You know, it really is such an important part of our world today, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So the book is Wealth 3.0, Saving America One Small Business at a Time by Dr. Robert Needham. I'm sure we have it on our sites by now, right?
We do. We have it on the sites. And, again, it's our last show we did, so you can actually go back and listen to it again if you like, you know, and listen to it a couple times. You might have to take some notes. So,
if people want to get the book, it's just simply Dr. Needham, which is D-R, then N-E-E-D-H-A-M, drneedham.com.
Absolutely. So what do we got going on today, Don?
Well, meeting with the Vice President of Marketing for I-9 Sports Franchise. Her name's Christy Atlas. And we're going to have a franchisee on, which we're always excited about, Scott Reed.
Yeah.
And he's in Texas, and he'll tell us all about his experience with I-9. And I'm excited about this show because I grew up playing a lot of sports.
You did. You've always...
I played sports in high school, soccer, baseball. I grew up playing all the sports. My twins now are 5. They're starting to play some T-ball, some soccer. So I love this type of stuff.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, your children are, you know, perfect for, you know, this, you know, you can really relate to this type of franchise opportunity, you know, having twins, as you said, these turned 5.
Well, you could have stopped that perfect, but yeah, okay.
Well, you can really relate to it, you know, and this must be a huge market, too, and I'm sure, you know, Christy has, you know, the demographics and things like that as far as how big the market is, you know, for this type
right.
of opportunity, but it's got to be huge, you know. I know one of my nephews just recently started playing T-ball. And I can tell you, I can see since he started playing that his confidence level has gone up. So I'm sure that that's a nice factor in playing sports
yeah.
as well. I don't know if you've noticed that with your kids, but when we've had other franchise opportunities like Jungle Quest, you know, it was pretty much going after the same target market. But, you know, I remember the gentleman that was on the show, I think it was William Gabbard, he mentioned how these kind of things increase kids' confidence, you know, and that's so...
Right.
important today. It's such a precious age, you know, so it's one of the things that you have to constantly work on as a new parent, don't you?
Yeah, it's important. Keep them busy, and I like I-9's emphasis on having fun, not always on winning, especially
exactly.
at the younger age. You just want to get out and build their endurance and build their confidence. It's just going to help them overall in a lot of other areas.
Well, I don't know about you, but I remember playing sports as a kid. You know, I remember it was a lot of pressure. I mean,
well, if you weren't any good,
but I remember, you know, I can tell you, like, I mean, the one sport that I became very good at was baseball. You know, and that happened over time. But I tell you, when I was a young little kid, I remember not playing the full game. You know, I mean, I remember
right.
like playing the last couple innings initially. And I always remember that, you know, and I remember making my first big catch, and that was like one of the defining moments in my life, you know, and I remember the next week, you know, being put on the roster, playing the full game, you know, but I said, God, what if I didn't make that catch? What
right.
would happen? You know, it's,
right.
you know, so it really does play an important role. So I like how they have, they do it different today. You know, all the kids get to come up to bat and there's no
right.
pressure. I mean, who wants pressure at 7 or 8 years old to hit a home run or strike
yeah.
out? I mean, you remember those moments, don't you? I bet you have a bunch of them that you remember, you know, if you're striking out in the ninth inning or,
right.
you know, or missing that basket or, you know, whatever it may be. It's
right.
That's tough, you know. So, you know, we'll talk to them about that on segment two today.
Right, the psychology of it all, yeah.
Sure, absolutely. So I know you had some interesting topics for segment one today.
Yeah, this is something, Marty, out of the sunjournal.com, the good and bad of franchises.
And I wanted to ask you that. How many newspapers do you read per week?
I stay up all night long scouring the newspapers and periodicals nationwide.
You could go for the doctor with all the reading you do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This article starts out, during the past several decades, franchising has become not only a uniquely American institution, but also one of the leading doorways into small business ownership in America. Every year, thousands of individuals choose to get into business ownership via the franchise route.
Right.
But is going the franchise route really a better choice than starting your own business? That's something you'll need to answer for yourself, but it is worth the time and effort to find out. To make the right choice for your own situation between starting a business and buying a franchise, as well as which franchise to buy, requires careful research. It's a big investment on your part, and you must investigate before you put up the money. According to the IFA, franchise businesses are growing at a rapid pace. Some 400,000 franchise businesses now employ nearly 10 million people with a payroll of $230
billion. Hmm.
That might be some new stats for us. There's always a hot new franchise on the scene. Curbs, for example, a network of franchise women-only fitness centers, grew nearly 38% in a single recent year.
Wow.
I guess maybe they're still growing, but I know they had a lot of growth a few years back.
Right.
As LA score counselor Jack Tetrault himself, a successful owner of ServiceMaster franchise, points out, in our community, we have seen the successful expansion of fast food franchises such as Dunkin' Donuts, Tim Hortons, and Subway, along with the already established McDonald's and Burger King. If your appetite for risk is low, a franchise may be your best choice. A franchise lowers the risk because someone else has already pioneered the concept, tested the ideas, and found out what works and what doesn't. If you want to do all these things with your own idea, then start a business yourself. If not, choose a franchise.
That's powerful, what you just said there. You know, I mean, and again, it's been the whole theme of our show, you know, 2.5 years, and I can't forget to, you know, sometimes I do it, get away from the basics, you know, of franchising, because we have new listeners, you know, every single week. So that's a very powerful sense that you just read there. Absolutely.
Right. Tetrault cautions that as you research franchises, ask about the required experience, if any, as well as the expected hours and personal commitment necessary to run the business. Learn about the franchisor's background, its track record, and how are the other franchisees in the system doing. The upfront cost of buying the franchise is crucial, of course, but also how much you will pay for the continuing right to operate the business and what products or services you will be required to buy from the franchisor. That talks about royalty fees. So I always like to just read an article about the basics a little bit, something we always preach, but a nice article with some updated statistics.
Something you said too, Don, you know, is, and I think Dr. Robert Needham was the one who said this. He didn't say it last week, but he said it on the preceding show when we had him on, because I was listening to it last week. What do you want this franchise to do for you? You know, it's a very important question. You know, like, for example, we had TSS Photography on several weeks ago. And that particular franchise, great franchise opportunity. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with it. But the one thing, though, is you do have to work a lot of weekends. You know, so if you're looking to, you know, spend time on the weekends with your wife and your kids, that might be a consideration. You know what I mean? So you have to ask yourself, what do you want this franchise to do for you? Remember, it's a means to an end. It's a vehicle to get you from point A to point B. That's what it does.
Right. Of course, everybody wants to make a lot of money and build wealth and own multiple units, but there's also the other side of the coin to it.
Well, there's so many choices today, too, aren't there? You know, I mean, what are we up to, like 3,000 different types of systems, some sources will say?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of choices. I mean, where do you begin? So,
right,
and
you brought up quality of life type of thing. Like, you have to realize the type of hours you're going to work, the type of surrounding, what type of office or retail. I mean, there's so many questions to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is where the self-assessment comes in, you know. So it really is very important. And I think if you're a match for franchising, there probably is, I hate to use the word perfect, but, you know, a number one opportunity for you. It's just finding that, you know. Sometimes it's like finding a needle in a haystack, but it's
at the same time, realize there is no perfect business. There is no perfect franchise. You have to find out what you think.
There's no perfect business.
They're going to be most comfortable
yeah.
in the next 10 years.
Dr. Robert said that last week, didn't he? I mean, he said there's no shortcuts, and that was pretty powerful, wasn't it? You know, and you frequently say that a lot on the show, too, if I can quote you. I'll have to put you in great quotes in franchising. But
so you're putting me in the same category as Dr. Needham?
Yeah, and that's I don't think anybody's in the same category with Dr. Needham. But, you know, I thought that was very powerful that he said that there's no shortcuts. I mean, any type of franchise opportunity, I don't care if it's the number one franchise opportunity here in the States, you still have to work at it, don't you? I mean, it's going to take, you know, sweat and, you know, the first year, you know, we talk about it a lot in the show, is usually, well, I hate to use the word difficult, but it's a lot of work.
Right.
You know, it's got to be total dedication, so. All that other stuff comes over time.
Exactly. Marty, here's something. The Franchise Times magazine has a publication, the Restaurant Finance Monitor. They talk about a section of its steady growth. Over a 10-year period, the revenue of the top 200 franchisees, not franchisors, the top 200 franchisees has grown steadily to over $21 billion, up from $13.6 billion in 98. Not surprisingly, considering the economic downturn, the weighting of the casual dining units in the ranking, the revenue of the top 200 companies took a hit in 08, declining a little bit. It was a very slight decline. Even the number of units declined year over year as franchisees culled their lowest performing locations. In total, the number of units operated by the top 200 declined to 16,489, down 2.5% from 16,915 in 07. Diversification has been important to the top 200 franchise companies. In 2008, there were 106 top 200 companies that operated a second franchise concept compared to 76 restaurant companies that operated more than one restaurant concept in 98.
Wow.
And most of these franchisees in the top 200 ranking, and remember, this is staying in the restaurant franchising side,
right.
They generally choose the top brands, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, TGI Fridays, Applebee's, Wendy's, Arby's, Pizza Hut, KFC. So a lot of those are the young brand concepts. These are called Tier 1 concepts, which suggest that they are easier for the companies to finance. The big ones also get bigger. The young brand system, which is, of course, Taco Bell and KFC, Pizza Hut.
Long John Silver's, yeah. And we've had them on the show before. Does it actually give names of, like, the top franchises
in the
U.S.? Or, yeah, it would be interesting having them on the show, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah, that would be interesting to have on there somebody. And it's, you know, these are people that own, you know, multiple concepts, multiple units, you know,
right.
Sometimes, you know, 100 total between their different concepts.
Well, I was a member, Jim Rudolph, he's now the CEO of Rita's. Before he joined Rita's, was it 46 Wendy's?
Right.
That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Talk about overwhelming, you know, is you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm going to buy a second franchise and a third franchise, but imagine owning 46.
Right.
I think he probably made it look easy, didn't he?
What was interesting about this article is that with these being some of the best franchises, period, not mm-hmm. just in restaurant and in food category.
Right.
But I guess, you know, financing could be easier to get because these are stronger concepts.
So did it say who was number one, Don? Did it have the list who was the number one franchisee, or it didn't?
You know, it does have a list in here.
Oh, it does,
and
okay.
It's,
I'd love to, get hold of that. And that's by Franchise Times does that?
Yeah, I mean, there's one company here, at least they're based out of Kansas, called NPC International, Inc., with revenue of over $689 million. And it looks like they own, I mean, a bunch of Pizza Huts.
Okay.
Wow. Then the next one owns some Wendy's and Chili's. Next one owns Applebee's. Next one owns a combination of KFC, A&W, you know, close to 250 units.
Right. That's interesting. You know, getting into the whole diversification thing, you know, we've noticed a lot of, like, co-branding over, you know, the last several years, haven't we, since doing the show,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. I like that list, and again, I was unfamiliar with it. For some reason, it just passed me by.
Right.
I'd like to get hold of that, you know, and just kind of study that over a bit.
We have some time for another story?
Quick one.
Okay.
You just have to read fast. Don't mean to put pressure on you.
Well, here's something from the Palm Beach Post.
Okay.
From Allison Ross. Downturn has many opening franchises. In the weeks leading up to the opening of her new Bounce U franchise, Kim Hines spent several sleepless nights. She said, I left the job I had for 20 years to do this. As an account manager at an information technology company, Hines had a boss in her own private office and a comfortable corporate beige building, but the slumping economy meant less business for the firm. Hines and her family increasingly worried about job security. In this economy, she says, the only way we felt we could secure our future was to become our own business owners. I wanted to mention a story because we had our kids' birthday party at Bounce U.
That's right.
And
I was there several weeks ago myself for
a
birthday party. My son was, you know, he's too small to kind of enjoy it. He was a little intimidated. You know, he's again,
right.
not even 2 years old yet, you know, so the kids are jumping up and down, and he was a little intimidated. But it's a wonderful.
Oh, yeah, kids love it there. We had a great birthday party. All the parents told us that they had a good time. So she and her husband began to research different options, focusing on businesses that were kid-related. They finally decided on Bounce U, an inflatable indoor play arena for kids' birthday parties and other events. After some heavy soul-searching, Hines made the leap and quit her job last September, mostly funding the franchise with the couple's personal savings. We kept saying, are we doing the right thing? But we decided in the long run we'd have control of our own destiny. Hines is not alone in deciding to open a franchise in a down economy. Traditional wisdom has it that no one opens a business in a recession. But the opposite is true. Recessions typically generate spurts of franchise activity. Historically, franchises have continued to grow straight through the recession, says Daryl Johnson, president and chief executive of franchise research firm Frame Frandata. That's partly because the pool of qualified prospective franchisees grows as people are laid off.
Mm-hmm.
Well-qualified people are getting laid off in mid-career, and they decide they want to go into business themselves, as IFA spokeswoman Alyssa Harrison. I'll read the rest of the article next week, but pretty interesting, so far about someone who decided to take the plunge in down economy and
exactly. Those are always great stories, aren't they?
Definitely.
Okay, fantastic. Well, good job, Don, on segment one, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as a consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we've got a great show today. We're meeting with Christy Alice, who's the Vice President of Marketing for I-9 Sports Opportunity. And also Scott, who is a franchisee, and he's out in the Woodlands, Texas area. And for our listeners, I-9 Sports is the world's first and fastest-growing youth sports franchise, offering flag football, basketball, soccer, cheerleading, and other sports for kids ages 4 to 14. Hi, guys. Hey, Christy. Hey, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Guys, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and Don has twins. They just turned 5 years old, and so I guess they're in the target audience, aren't they?
yeah, that makes Don a busy guy.
It sure does, absolutely.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Christy and Scott. Yeah, I'm excited to have you guys on because I grew up playing sports even at an early age, and now I'm starting to because I've stopped for a while. I won't discuss my age now, but now my twins getting into sports, it's good. I'm going to have to get in shape again as they get older because it seems like they're enjoying themselves so far. So, it's a great thing you guys are doing.
Yeah, parents, especially of more than one child, twins especially, really appreciate the whole concept behind I-9 Sports because not only do we focus on the fun for the kids, but we really take the parents into consideration as well because, let's face it, you guys are very busy, whether you have twins, you have one child, three children, and we do everything that we can to increase that convenience level by sending you to the field only one time a week instead of trying to juggle homework and dinner and everything else during the week. So we reduce the amount of time that you really have to focus on the kids' sports, but the kids still have a great time playing sports at the same time.
That's interesting. Chrissy, I would like to start off asking our guests, where are you calling from today?
I am in Brandon, Florida, and Scott is in the Woodlands, Texas, which is just outside of Houston.
Nice. Okay, interesting. And I'll start with you first, Chrissy. What were you doing before joining I-9?
Before joining I-9, I was the vice president of marketing for a construction staffing company.
Oh, interesting.
So a little bit different of a target market.
Right. I imagine so. But I'm sure you're able to apply a lot of that experience to I-9 Sports.
Absolutely. I've been marketing for about 20 years now, and I've marketed just about everything under the sun. But I have to say that now that I'm part of my own target market, it makes it for a lot easier of a process. So I can automatically figure out what mom's looking for, what excites a parent about a youth sports league. And since I have children of my own, what gets a child excited about playing in a youth sports league?
That's interesting.
And Scott, what were you doing before becoming a franchisee? What's been your background?
I've been in sports my whole life, and I actually was a director of tennis at a country club here in the northern Houston area. And so the opportunity to stay in sports was a perfect fit for me.
This is right up your alley. You're used to not only being in sports, but in managing and directing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Was able to ran the pool, the snack bar, the fitness center, and the tennis at a club. So sports has been a part of my life for as long as I can remember.
Now, Christy, have you seen Scott play tennis? Is he any good?
Scott tells me he's great, but I haven't seen it myself. But it's interesting with Scott's background. Scott's very unique compared to the rest of our franchisees because the majority of our franchisees don't have that sports background. They're former CEOs, they're former sales reps, former military, that kind of thing. So not all of our franchisees really need that, or most of them don't even have that sports background. Of course, it's helped Scott along the way, especially with the contacts that he's made.
Yeah, man, it's great to be in something that you love and growing up playing and so forth. Chrissy, talk about the history of I-9 and when you began franchising and the whole story, please.
Well, I-9 Sports was founded by our CEO, Frank Fiume, and he's always had a passion for youth sports. And what he found is, when he started having children and getting involved in organized sports, he found that there was really a need for organized youth sports. You don't usually equate youth sports with actually being organized, even though they're called organized youth sports. And he also wanted to create something that where the focus was on fun and good sportsmanship. So what Frank did was he founded I-9 Sports in 2003, which was after he operated youth sports throughout the Tampa Bay area since the 1990s. And now, as you mentioned before, we're the nation's largest youth sports franchise, offering flag football, soccer, basketball, cheerleading, and other sports, and we are all over the country.
Great. Why I-9? Does that letter and number mean anything?
It absolutely does. It talks about the nine I's, and those nine I's are imagination, innovation, inclusive, interactive, impassioned, inspirational, instructional, insightful, and integrity-driven. So everything that we do, we take a look at those nine I's, and we make sure that the kids are a part of all these nine I's and have the opportunity to benefit from those.
That's clever.
Interesting. And then so far franchising looks like it's been successful. You've been doing that for a few years now?
Yes, we have. Since 2004, actually, we offered our first franchise. And we have been in definite growth mode ever since. We are now in, we have 125 franchisees. We're in about 700 communities, and that covers 29 states. And we're just over 225,000 members.
Wow, impressive. Yeah.
So definitely on the growth, definitely in the growth stage.
Yeah,
that's incredible. And Scott, there's so many franchise opportunities out there. Why did you choose to become an I-9 sports franchisee?
Well, when I decided to make a career change, I was fortunate enough to spend about 9 months really researching a lot of franchises and going to discovery days and just trying to pick the right one. And obviously, when I came upon I-9, sports was a natural fit for me. The franchisee satisfaction rates were very high for I-9, which was another thing that really drew me to them.
Right.
And talking to some of their franchisees, everyone seemed like they were enjoying it, and it was a good fit, and the corporate side was very helpful and very beneficial for the franchisees. So it was kind of actually fairly easy selection once I got into the process.
Mm, good match. Yeah. Hey, Chrissy, how do you describe the I-9 franchise system to, like, the prospective franchisees for the first time hearing about the franchise?
It's really simple. It's our franchisees help kids succeed in life through sports by running youth sports leagues, including those sports that I had mentioned it. Usually they get to do that in their hometown, so they are able to run these leagues from the comfort of their home in their community, and they get to help out the community while making a living at the same time.
That's a good pitch.
And who's really the competition, Christy? I mean, what's like a barrier for someone starting it up? I mean, I guess it's...
You know,
you probably work in conjunction with, like, local little leagues and some of the things that the town has, you know, set up for years, right?
Right. In some areas, we're working with the local Parks and Rec, who, because of budget cuts, have actually asked us to take over some of their leagues so they can still offer something in their community. So in that regard, we're working along with the Parks and Rec. In other areas, you always have your YMCA. You've got, in some areas, you have Upward Sports. There's always some kind of youth sports organization that's already present in any territory. And it's interesting because what we're finding is the areas that have the larger youth sports organizations are usually the areas that we end up having a better presence in, just because there's just that much of a need for it.
Right.
And also, we're the way we run our leagues and the experience for the child and the parents, it's really a different experience. A lot of those leagues out there are for the kids who they want to be all-stars in high school. They want, you know, their parents are trying to get them that scholarship in college so they're not having to pay their way through college, and they want them to be that NFL superstar. And our leagues are really created for the child who wants to get out there and play, learn a little bit about the sport, and have a great time at the same time, which, if you think about it, is the majority of those kids. About 1% of those kids actually is at the top of their league and getting those scholarships, and even fewer are getting that NFL draft.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the core of why I-9 is becoming successful, and probably what Frank thought about just starting it up, I think you mentioned, is that whole philosophy.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, there's just too many win-it-all-cost philosophies out there, and what's happening is by the age of 12, most kids are dropping out of organized sports, which is a shame, because the number one reason kids start playing sports is just to have fun.
Right.
They want to have fun. They want to make friends, and not to get a scholarship. And that's our philosophy. Let's get out there. Let's have fun. Let's learn about good sportsmanship, and have a great time. And they also get a chance to, you know, no matter what their playing ability is, they still get a chance to play quarterback if that's something that they want to do, which is an amazing opportunity because I'm sure we all look back during our childhood years and think about the time that we were told, you know what, you're not quite good enough, so we're going to let you play a little bit, but you're going to have to sit the bench the rest of the time. Well, we take that away, and when you take that out of the life of a child, all of a sudden everything else looks more doable. They feel like they've got more potential, and that you know, they grow that confidence. So it's an amazing change.
Yeah, we were talking about that on segment one, Christy, you know, about I was telling Don, I said, I remember when I was a kid, I mean, it was a lot of pressure. I mean, I was 7, 8 years mm-hmm. old, and I said, God help me if I struck out in the ninth inning. It was just the end of the world. You
right.
know? So I think this is a wonderful concept for kids. And my nephew just recently started playing T-ball, and I could tell you, I noticed a difference in his personality, where in the past he was a little more shy, you know, and now he's a little more outgoing, you know, when we see him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is that relationship between sports and building a child's confidence as well.
Yeah, it,
right.
it really helped
I, you know,
me
I hear
too.
That story all the time.
I mean, it really helped me to get. I mean, I happen to be pretty decent at a couple of sports. I just you know, building the confidence because I wasn't really too good in other aspects of life, but sports was helpful. And I didn't even think about that. That you know, even if someone's playing on another team. You know, they might only be playing like, I mean, I know in most leagues, you know, you have to play a child a certain amount of time. But that person might not be playing the whole game, and
mm-hmm.
they want to get out and play more. Mm-hmm. So that's what's nice about I-9 Sports is they'll be
right.
able to complete their, you know, their quest to play more sports in general.
Right. Let me tell you guys, I was one of those people. I grew up as the playing in right field and fast pitch softball, and I sat that bench all the time with the exception of the minimum two innings. And
right.
I wasn't feeling very good about myself.
Right.
And on top of it, I didn't get played enough to really be able to improve myself.
Get better at it, exactly.
Right, exactly. So I-9 Sports gives kids the opportunity to get out there and to learn about the sport, but also to get better, to get that practice, and to feel better about themselves all the way around.
And the parents like it because it's giving them another activity. They're running around more, staying in shape, which all young kids have to do. So it really
exactly.
is. It's taking
exactly.
care of several things all at once.
Right. And the parents also love it because we don't have any kind of fundraisers. So they, you know, they pay the registration fee. That's all they're paying for the season. With a lot of the other organizations, they have a quote-unquote fundraiser, which as parents, we all know that means that we're paying for the fundraiser because, you know, kids can't go to door-to-door anymore, and it just becomes a very difficult process for the parents. So no fundraisers. We also don't ask them to volunteer. So when the child's playing, let's say, a flag football game, they can actually sit on the sidelines and watch their child play as opposed to flipping burgers at the concession stand. So the parents really appreciate the overall experience for both themselves and their child.
Right. What role, Christy, has technology played in your business and franchise? It's a good question, right?
Gosh, and on so many different levels. You know, I don't think we'd be here without technology. I mean, it helps Scott and his daily setup, which he can talk to you a little bit about. It helps us, obviously, with promoting the I-9 name. It helps us here at the corporate offices just stay on track with everything. So as technology, we would be nowhere, absolutely nowhere without it. And like I said, Scott can tell you a little bit about his, what we call our countdown to game time, that every time he comes down to his computer in the morning, pops what he's supposed to do for that day. Scott, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, the technology, just with the website alone, people are getting more geared to getting on the web and just signing up without having to, you know, call in or check it, especially as the name and the brand grows. People are comfortable doing that. And certainly throughout the training process, when you go in, when you first come on with I-9, it's a week-long training process. You're assigned a business coach that helps you every step of the way. He actually comes out to your opening day. And so you're led along the way, all the stuff you need to be successful. You just have to gear it towards your area. But, I mean, email blasts, I'd say that half my members, we only communicate through, you know, maybe more than that, and I would say that two-thirds of my sign-ups happen on, you know, through the website where I don't even have to do anything other than just take the registration, put them on a team,
wow,
send an email back to them and contact. So it's becoming, you know, the Internet's just been an incredible technological advancement for us in this business, and it also allows us, I mean, I can go on vacation to San Antonio as long as I bring my computer, have internet access, I can run my business.
Right, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Right, Scott made a very good point, too, about a lot of our consumers registering online. It's very interesting because we're finding that our parents are up at all hours of the night online because we're getting registrations all hours of the night. And really every day of the year, we even get registrations on Christmas Day. So parents really appreciate that convenience of if, you know, after they get everything done, oh, I still haven't registered my child, I need to do that. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, they can do that. And also they can find the information they need to do it.
Wow.
You'd be surprised how many registrations you get on Christmas Day, on Thanksgiving Day, at 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's a great way to, you're open 24/7. It's awesome.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of word of mouth with this.
Right.
Of course, you have to market and advertise, but if a couple families join the whole experience, they're going to tell others. So that happens a lot, right, Scott?
Yeah, well, to follow up on what Kristen said earlier, when I opened my first league, I sold it out, fortunately, and through word of mouth, by the time the next season hit, the Parks and Rec in my area actually contacted me and said, hey, we like what you're doing. We've heard good things. We'd like you to come out and run all of our camps this summer. So the Woodlands Parks and Rec, I'm doing all their soccer, cheerleading, and flag football camps this summer, which is about 18 different camps, and that's strictly through word of mouth. They contacted me, and word of mouth is the most powerful advertising you can have. No
yeah,
question.
Definitely.
I agree.
Right, and everything that we teach in training is that you got to get out there and get the word out through marketing. But if you do a great job up front, then those marketing costs are going to continue to go down, and that's what our goal is, to run a great program right up front, get those parents talking about the great program, and then reduce those marketing costs, which allow your profits to go up.
Right. And how big is the industry? I mean, I guess your industry is considered just all youth sports. You have any numbers for that, Christy?
There are 42 million kids are playing youth sports in the United States today.
Wow.
So quite a few. But again, you know, we've got a lot of them quitting at the age of 12. So what we're trying to do is offer something that allows them to say, you know, this is still fun and we're enjoying it.
Right, that's still a few more years because I guess you go over 14 or it seems like you go
we
up to
go up to 14. Yeah, we go up to 14.
That's good. Well, it's a big market. Christy and Scott, we have to take a quick break. Can you guys stick around for another segment?
Sure. I guess on.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Great.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. As we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Christy Atlas, who's the Vice President of Marketing for the I-9 Sports Franchise Opportunity, and Scott Reed, who is an I-9 Sports franchisee from Woodland, Texas. And Christy, the next question is for you. What characteristics do you look for in your franchisees? What did you see in someone like Scott?
Well, as I mentioned before, a lot of people think that they actually have to have that coaching background to be an I-9 sports franchisee. And, of course, Scott has that, but that is certainly atypical. But one thing that Scott, there are a lot of things that Scott does have is that he's organized, he's detail-oriented. Don't start blushing on me, Scott. And he's really got that drive to work hard and to get out there and to succeed. As you mentioned before, Scott sold out his initial program when he was just getting started. And he did that even though Hurricane Ike came through, gas prices were soaring, and the economy just overall was plummeting. But he forged ahead. Instead of sitting back and saying, you know, the economy is going to kill my business, this isn't going to work, right, he got out there and he was talking to businesses left and right in his community, telling them how he could help them, how they could help him, and building those relationships. So he really has that drive to succeed, and I think that's the number one element that allows our franchisees to succeed.
That's great. And Scott, did you want to talk about what the training was like, you know, when you became a franchisee?
The training was outstanding. You go to corporate for a week and a comprehensive overview of how to run the business. As I said before, you're assigned a business coach that will you can call and help you through the process the entire way. He actually comes out to your opening day. So the first day that you have a grand opening, your business coach is there to help you, make sure everything is done correctly and just agent. It's a great setup. And I feel like that the marketing plan, which is probably the biggest part of this business, is the marketing, especially when you first start. You have to brand the name. And the marketing plan, now Christy can't blush either because she's the marketing girl, but it's an outstanding marketing plan. And I think that it's very comprehensive. You have to take it and put it into your area and find out what works and doesn't work. But they give you such a range of things to do that it's all covered.
That's great.
And tell us, Scott, about a typical day. What's your typical day like as a franchisee?
A typical day is, you know, you're always answering phone calls and emails. You're setting up rosters. You're taking care of after league. You know, it's a weekend business. So I'm actually currently running 3 leagues right now. So my Saturdays and Sundays are just running leagues all weekend. There's some administrative stuff, you know, in the beginning part of the week. But a lot of it's the marketing. You're constantly, even though you're in the middle of a season, you're constantly out marketing, going to businesses, cross-promoting, advertising as much as you can, and just getting out into the community and letting people know that you have a year-round league program. So it's a lot of, you know, moving around, checking your computer, answering your phone, but it's the flexibility is outstanding. That's probably the biggest benefit of the business is it's very flexible. And with any small business that you own, you know, you're answer to yourself, and if you work hard, you reap the benefits. So,
and you know, sports is you know, such a large population loves sports. It's positive in general. So when you're out there speaking to people and they haven't heard the I-9 Sports, you know, I you know, bet you you'll get somebody's ear right away. So that must be pretty good when you're out there, you know, loving what you're selling and then talking about sports.
Well, sure. It's an easy sell, number one, because you're talking about helping kids. So you're going to get people's attention just from that perspective, especially when you're talking about cross-promoting and stuff. But,
right.
I mean, I feel very fortunate that I'm able to earn my living by helping kids succeed through life in sports. And so it is an easier – it's very – if you're passionate about what you do and you go out, it's easy to sell it because you're really not selling it because it sells itself. The product is so good. And compared to the other leagues and other organizations that are around, I mean, the product sells itself, so you just have to make sure that you're communicating it well and getting the people involved.
And you feel that that's the core of being successful? You know, maybe talk about that. There's one thing to follow the system with the franchise, and you did your homework and due diligence, chose I-9 Sports. But from you specifically, what would you recommend to other people listening, to other I-9 Sports franchises who are going to come in order for them to succeed, what do you think they have to do?
I mean, I think you have to really spend time marketing. And I know that sounds boring, but getting the word out, the product will sell itself. You've got to get out in the field and you've got to do in-person registrations. You've got to meet people. You've got to cross-promote with businesses. You have to get as much of the neighborhood and the area involved and knowing about what you're doing. And the other thing to be most successful is once you do that, you have to run a first-class league, taking care of, follow up with all your phone calls and emails and treat it like a business. It is a business. And if you don't treat it like a business, I think that's where people fall short, is that, well, it's a sports league. But, you know, if you spend the time and do the due diligence and get out there and meet the people, as well as run a very professional league, it's going to sell itself. The word of mouth is going to be out there, and people, it's going to grow. And I've seen that because I grew from one location to two locations to three locations. My first three seasons, I've added a new location, and I've seen growth at all of them. But you have to treat it like a business, and you have to, you know, spend the time. It's not your typical job, and I think that's probably the hardest thing for people coming into this that had a typical 9-to-5 job or a business type job is, I mean, I'm answering the phone sometimes 8 o'clock at night. I'm answering the phone on weekends.
Right.
I'm answering emails at odd hours. You have to be able to make the commitment to follow up with people and treat it like a business, because it certainly is.
Right. Yeah, that's great advice. It's what you put into it, and make sure you take control of the details.
Absolutely.
One thing I'd like
that.
To add to what Scott's talking about, because he is getting a lot of phone calls, fortunately, for registration and for information, but we've just implemented a call center here in the Tampa Bay area, and that's one thing that's really going to add a lot of convenience for our franchisees, to give them more time to get out there and market during the day, like Scott has mentioned, because that is vital to the success of their franchise. So now somebody else is going to be handling those calls while they're out there building those relationships with the community business leaders and getting out there and doing the in-person registrations that Scott spoke of.
That's great. And Scott, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? That's the majority of our listeners.
You know, I think that becoming a franchisee is an awesome opportunity, but again, you have to realize that when it's your business and it is a 24/7 job and you have to work at it a lot, and just like I-9 is a weekend business, so be prepared for making tough decisions that, you know, you're going to make some decisions that are wrong, and that's okay, and you're going to do some advertising or marketing that doesn't work, and that's okay, because it's a learning process. And as long as you learn from your mistakes, they're really just experiences, and they'll make you better in the future. Because in any kind of new business, the first year is really just getting you off the ground and getting the brand out there and trying to get started. So I think the hardest thing is people come into them and think, gosh, I'm going to make money right off the bat, and it's going to be an easy sell. And it can be, and I was fortunate to have my second season to turn a profit and be very successful, but I don't think that's the norm sometimes, and I think that people maybe have different expectations. So I think keep your expectations to work really hard, put the time in, put money into it. You have to market it. At any business, you have to put money into the marketing, because if it's new and they don't know about you, they've got to find out. And the only way to do that is to get the brand out there as many ways as you can.
That's good advice.
Christy, how about yourself? You might want to add something to that as well, with all your experience in marketing and business.
Yeah, Scott nailed it right there on the head. You've got to get the word out, and then once you get that word out, you just give them an amazing I-9 experience, which Scott fortunately is doing, and then people continue to come back, and that's really the foundation of the whole I-9 Sports system, is get the word out, give them an amazing I-9 experience, and keep them coming back.
That's great. What are I-9's plans for the future, Christy? I mean, how big would you guys like to get?
Well, we are growing at a fantastic rate, but everything that we do, we don't want to explode overnight like some franchises have done, and then have to go back and say, wait a minute, let's close some of these up. So we have a methodical plan in place, but it is aggressive. Over the next 5 years, even in this economy, we plan to expand internationally. We're looking at Canada, Mexico, Central America, Europe, Australia, China, as well as South Africa, while at the same time we're going to increase our U.S. presence to 500 franchises. We're currently at 125 franchises that serve 750 communities, but we want to ramp that up to 500 franchises.
Big plans. Great.
Big plans. Well, like Scott says, you know, it sells itself. And on the franchise side as well, as soon as we get people here for Discovery Day, they're clamoring. They're saying, "Hey, where do we sign?" And we said, "Well, let's sit back because it's got to be a good fit for both of us."
Right.
But fortunately, when people, whether they're a consumer or a franchise prospect, hears about I-9 Sports, they just want to learn more and get involved, and that's a great thing. That's a great part about my job.
What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming an I-9 Sports franchisee, Chris?
The best way to get the information is go to our website at i9sportsfranchise.com. That's the letter I, number 9, sportsfranchise.com.
Okay, great. And we'll also post that up on our show page as well. And I want to thank you again, Chris. You guys have been fantastic guests, and we'd love to have you back in the near future.
Well, we appreciate you having us.
Thanks, Christine and Scott. Great job.
Have a great day.
Have a great
day. Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said earlier, this type of franchise right up my alley.
Right.
Playing sports so much growing up. And, you know, we've done a lot of shows, but this is our first in this niche category. So it's nice to add this type of franchise.
Yeah, it is. Another one to the library, you know. So we did a fantastic job. So good job, Don. And again, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net. And I'll be seeing you next week, Don, for another great show.
Yep. Great, Marty. Good job.
Good job, Don. Take care.
Bye-bye.